Welcome to the Women's Meeting for the LDS Addiction Recovery Program Spouse and Family Support Podcast. In today's meeting, we will discuss Principle 4, Draw Near Unto Me. Elder Dallin H. Oaks of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles has said the following about the healing power of Christ's atonement.
He knows of our anguish, and He is there for us. Like the Good Samaritan in his parable, when He finds us wounded at the wayside, He binds up our wounds and cares for us. Brothers and sisters, the healing power of His atonement is for you, for us, for all.
In this series, you will hear actual participants discussing gospel principles of recovery and healing. Spouse and family support meetings have strict guidelines of confidentiality and anonymity. All of the individuals in these podcasts are regular attendees in the Addiction Recovery Program and have willingly volunteered to participate. Their experiences are genuine and not fabricated. The personal stories expressed in this series reflect the true opinions and experiences of the guests and may not represent the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Spouse and Family Support Group. I am Sister Haas, and I will be conducting today's group. Do we have anyone here for the first time? No, it doesn't look like it. Okay. Remember to introduce yourself by your first name, and please turn off your cell phones. We do not have any announcements tonight, so would someone volunteer to offer an opening prayer? Melissa.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we have come together tonight, that we can be together as sisters and friends and feel the special spirit that we can have. We're grateful for this program and how it gives us strength and knowledge. We're grateful for the knowledge that we have of Thee and Thy Son and the atonement and how we are able to find healing and strength through Thee. Please bless those in this group and any others that are struggling with this addiction, that we may find peace and we may have strength throughout this week. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Family Support Meetings assists those with loved ones ensnared in pornography and addiction. We are a group of sisters who share our experiences, faith, and hope as we study and apply the principles of the gospel as they correlate with the Spouse and Family Support Guide. Our meetings provide a safe place for honest sharing because we adhere to the principles of confidentiality and anonymity, and we use appropriate language and behavior to invite the Spirit to be with us. As we apply these gospel principles in our own lives, we receive powers through the atonement of Jesus Christ to find hope and healing and to receive the full blessings of the gospel. Let's take a few moments really quick and refresh each other, our names. And do you want to start over here? That would be great.
Hi, my name is Becky.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, I'm Carolee.
Hi, Carolee.
Hi, my name is Vicky.
Hi, Vicky.
Hi, I'm Becky.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, my name is Eileen.
Hi, Eileen.
Hi, I'm Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, I'm Leanne.
Hi, Leanne.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Each week, we focus on a different principle. We will go around the room, and each person who is willing may read a paragraph. You may pass if you prefer just to listen. We have extra copies of the principle for you to use in this meeting in case you do not have one. During the reading, listen for thoughts and feelings that resonate with you. In addition, we will be pausing at the end of each section to discuss what we have read. Please remember to raise your hand to allow only one person to speak at a time, and we will end the reading and discussion in 45 minutes. To allow time for the sharing portion of the meeting. So, who would like to begin reading? Carolee, thank you.
Principle 4, draw near unto me.
Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Seek me diligently, and ye shall find me. Ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Relying upon God's guidance and direction. Many times we are confronted with problems that seem beyond our own capability and understanding to overcome. Our need for help can lead us to ask our loving Heavenly Father for guidance and direction. We have been counseled, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." The Lord desires to answer our prayers and will speak to us through the Holy Ghost. Elder Richard G. Scott taught, "Impressions of the Spirit can come in response to urgent prayer or unsolicited when needed. Sometimes the Lord reveals truth to you when you are not actively seeking it, such as when you are in danger and do not know it. Receiving revelation may require effort on our part." President Harold B. Lee said, "We develop our spiritual selves by practice." We must train our spiritual selves with the same care as we train our physical bodies. He counseled, "Take time to be holy each day of your lives. It is important to set aside time to meditate, ponder, and turn our hearts toward heaven. This will help us receive, recognize, and understand the promptings of the Holy Ghost. The situation with our loved one can require our urgent attention and can cause us to desperately seek answers or direction. Our sense of urgency might cause us to expect immediate spiritual help. While the Lord's responses come quickly at times, the Scriptures teach us that revelation is given line upon line as it is needed. We can patiently wait upon the Lord and trust that He will speak to us. This is one way that our patience and character are refined. Just as the people of Nephi understood not the voice which they heard until the third time, it might take time for us to recognize personal revelation.
Thank you. How have you felt the Lord guide and direct in your relationship with your loved one? And what will you do to seek revelation from the Lord to guide you?
I can remember one time in particular that I just had such an overwhelming love for my spouse, and I knew that it wasn't me. And it went on for a full day, and everything he did, it was like highlighted, you know. I really sincerely appreciated him going to work. I really sincerely appreciated him helping around the house. And I noticed every single little thing, and I know that that was the Lord helping me see him and love him and give me and him hope again.
Thank you. Becky.
A couple of things that stand out to me in the reading that I really like is this quote, "to take time to be holy each day of your lives." And then I was thinking about the scripture in the beginning of this, "draw near unto me," and I was thinking about how the Lord invites us. And that's important to me because the gospel's shifted slightly for me from a to-do list to more of a yearning to draw close to God. And I feel really grateful for that because before doing the things that it's asking me to do daily to become holy, to take time to ponder and take time to read my scriptures, it felt like a task, something that I was supposed to do or I might be condemned, if that makes sense. But I am appreciating now that I have felt that difference, the invitations that the Lord offers constantly through the scriptures. He's asking us to draw near unto him. He's not setting up a requirement. He's saying, please do it. And as we go through the rest of this and the rest of these principles, we'll see how many invitations he offers that are meant for our peace and for our good. But it feels so different and so good to have that longing to draw near to God. I'm not perfect at it, but now I want to do it. It's not just something I want to check off.
Yes, thank you. Carolee?
One way that I felt the Lord guide and direct me in my own relationship with my loved one is just in my way of approaching my husband. There's times when, you know, I feel like I need to wait and watch for the right time to approach and to talk about this, because it's not always the right time to bring up sensitive matters or to talk about difficult things. And so I really have felt the Lord say and give me the patience that I needed and the wisdom to say, wait, now is not the best time. You know, he's tired or he's hungry or he's stressed. Let's wait. And then I've always found that when I'm patient like that and listening for the Spirit to direct me, things just go a lot better, and we're able to talk in a way that's productive. And so that's one way that I feel like the Lord really, really directs me.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's go on to the next section. That's Vicki.
Partaking of the sacrament. The sacrament is a time for reflection. We partake of the sacrament in remembrance of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us and to renew our covenants. The sacrament can be a sacred time for us to reconcile and submit our will to God's and be spiritually strengthened. This may require us to suspend thinking about our loved one and focus on our own spiritual strength. While it is natural to turn our thoughts during the sacrament to our loved ones and how their challenges are impacting us, we need to take the time during the sacrament to strengthen our relationship with God and the Savior. We, in turn, are spiritually strengthened through the enabling power of the Savior Jesus Christ. It is important not to let anything distract us from renewing our covenants with the Lord, not even the actions and choices of our loved ones. Although we desire our loved ones to come unto Christ and be healed, this is something that they must do for themselves. Heavenly Father waits patiently for them to exercise faith in Christ and take the necessary steps towards recovery. We too must be patient and align our will with God's. The sacrament provides an opportunity to demonstrate that we are willing to submit to Heavenly Father while we endure in faith. Replacing our desires with trust in His will is one way that we take upon ourselves the name of Christ and always remember Him.
Thank you. How can the ordinance of the sacrament strengthen you? Melissa.
I have several thoughts about this section, so if I'm talking too long, you can let me know. But one of the things is the phrase in the reading that says, it is important not to let anything distract us. I always sort of, when someone says something like that, I kind of think, okay, but I have young children. How can I not be distracted? And I, you know, kind of thought, okay, well, I'll just wait till my children are grown before I can enjoy the sacrament. But I've come to discover that it doesn't have to be that way. When I really strive to focus and take that time I need to really think about those covenants I've made and the strength of the Savior and the atonement, somehow it seems to work out. I don't know if my kids are just quiet or Heavenly Father helps them to be quieter or if He helps me to ignore them more. But I've been able to find that time to ponder and pray during the sacrament and really renew my covenants and turn my will to God. It doesn't work every Sunday, but I really think if I'm making that, if I'm striving to do that, that Heavenly Father will allow that to happen. I've noticed that one way I am able to get into the Spirit is to listen to the sacrament hymn and really pay attention to the words. My husband plays the organ in our sacrament meeting, and I was watching him choose the hymns, and I kind of always thought that people just sort of picked one. But he was really thinking and praying about which hymn to sing. And when I saw that, I thought, okay, well, if he's taking that much time, I'm going to listen for, you know, the words. And so I really started to pay attention. And those sacrament hymns have just wonderful messages that bring the Spirit. And it helps me to get into the mindset to really be in a place where I can partake of the sacrament and feel His love and get that strength that I need.
Becky, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment one more time about the reading. This line caught my eye, that Heavenly Father waits patiently
for them, but I want to replace that for me. Heavenly Father waits patiently for me to exercise faith in Christ and take the necessary steps toward recovery. I really believe that's true, that he was waiting for me as the spouse of an addict very patiently, and it was okay to experience the emotions of grief, because for me that's what it felt like. There was some anger in there and lots of tears and other things like that. And I kind of felt guilty for feeling those things. But Heavenly Father was waiting patiently for me to be sufficiently humble to understand my need for a recovery and my need for him in my recovery. And so, yeah, that line just pops out because it has meaning in my life that I can testify. He does wait patiently for each of us in our individual circumstances to turn to him for whatever recovery we need and whatever circumstance we find ourselves in.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to the next section there. Becky?
Okay, attending the temple. We may struggle in going to the temple because a loved one is not able to be with us. However, the weakness and addictions of a loved one do not affect the right of a spouse or family member to attend the temple, nor should they affect our sense of worthiness to attend. Temple worship and service can provide us with the strength and blessings we need to press forward and keep an eternal perspective. President Boyd K. Packer said, "Temples are the very center of the spiritual strength of the church. We should expect that the adversary will try to interfere with us as a church and with us individually as we seek to participate in this sacred and inspired work. We can draw close to the Lord in his house and receive his strength to move forward with faith and hope." President Packer continues, "When members of the church are troubled or when crucial decisions weigh heavily upon their minds, it is a common thing for them to go to the temple. It is a good place to take our cares. In the temple, we can receive spiritual perspective. Sometimes our minds are so beset with problems and there are so many things clamoring for attention at once that we just cannot think clearly and see clearly. At the temple, the dust of distraction seems to settle out, the fog and the haze seem to lift, and we can see things that we were not able to see before and find a way through our troubles that we had not previously known."
Thank you very much. How has temple worship blessed you, and how can attending the temple strengthen you in your current challenge? Becky.
There have been lots of times in our marriage when I've gone to the temple alone or my husband couldn't go with me. And for the early part of our marriage, when that was the case, then I often didn't feel like I could go because I was going by myself and I was nervous or I was unhappy that I was going by myself. But recently when I went by myself, I found so much peace, and I ended up doing initiatories and just feeling so peaceful. And I think sometimes when our family members struggle so much, and when that bleeds into every aspect of our lives and our home, that the temple is just a place that we can escape and we can find that peace and serenity. And I'm just really grateful for that in my life.
Thank you. Eileen.
From the very beginning of my husband's and my relationship, even before I knew about his addiction, we just, for some reason, always felt drawn to the temple whenever we had, you know, serious things to talk about. And we spent many evenings just sitting in his car out in front of the temple, just talking for hours, and it was just wonderful. We always felt that peace, even just being on the temple grounds. There's just something about that place that you just feel so much more peace and comfort there. And I'm really grateful for that. It gave us a lot of peace in some very difficult times.
Thank you. Stephanie.
temple attendance has been something that has it's been pretty crucial for me as to kind of help me continue on in the journey. And I'm not sure if it's because, you know, I found out shortly after we were married about my husband's addiction. And so I actually didn't have a lot of, maybe like once or twice probably before I found out that we actually went to the temple together. And so going to the temple with him wasn't something that was in my history with him. And so I from the beginning, I just always had gone alone. And it's something that, for me, it was always something that I looked forward to because it gave me a place to, you know, to have all the chaos that comes with the addiction kind of settle away, and that I can just feel some peace for a moment, and that I could be a little bit calm and be able to feel my Heavenly Father. And and it's been something that it's kind of been reverse now that my husband is in recovery. I've struggled to have him join me to go to the temple because that's been something that's very special to me, to be able to go and have that time to sit there and to ponder. And I haven't wanted him there with me because of hard feelings and things like that. I had a better experience on my own. And we actually had the opportunity to go this last week, and it really is honestly probably just a handful. We don't do it very often together, and it was probably the first time that I sat there and felt so blessed to be in the temple with him and to be next to him. And so the temple is just I'm finding it, you know, it helped me when I was on my own in the addiction and in the recovery. And, you know, the temple is such a place that now is helping my marriage to come together again. So
it's great. Thank you. Lynn.
In one of these meetings I attended, a young lady told us once that she was embarrassed to go to the temple because she would cry. And she was afraid that they would kick her out. I could not begin to relate how many times I have been to the temple in such distress that I ended up leaning against the wall just bawling because of the hurt inside. But never did I go away from the temple without getting an answer, without getting strength, without getting hope that I could deal with the situation that I was in. So don't be embarrassed. Don't be upset if you go and you cry. That's all right. It's not something to be ashamed of, because that means you're just being you.
Thank you. Carol Lee.
When I think of the temple, it's a gift that Heavenly Father gives us, a place that we can go and really escape and feel His Spirit. And you know, I was able to serve a mission, and so I attended the temple frequently before I was married. And then there was a time when I kind of felt like I was pulling my husband, just like really trying to get him there with me, and it was a struggle. And but I was used to going on my own, and so I would do that at times. But I really wanted my husband, and after a while, the Spirit prompted me to just go. And so I felt like it was my own personal experience that I needed. And I felt prompted to attend frequently, and so I increased my temple attendance. And it was just what I needed, the spiritual boost that I needed. Because soon after that, my husband told me about everything that had been going on, and basically the reason why it was so hard for him to go with me. And I felt so stupid. I felt like I didn't trust myself to be able to discern anymore, because I had been so beguiled for years. And I really just felt like I was a stupid woman. But as I continued in that that weekly temple attendance. It became the place where my self-confidence developed, because there I was told that I could discern, that I could tell between what was right and what was wrong. And there were blessings that were being spoken to me. And it became vital to me to attend, and it still is. And now it's my husband is able to go, and he attends frequently. And that has been kind of a an action on his part that shows to me of his true recovery, because I saw when he would just pull against and not want to go, and then to see this total flip where he is ready, he's not giving me excuses, he's there when I can't be there. And that's really just, I feel like it's this huge gift of the Lord.
Vicki.
For me, one of the real strengths in the temple, when I was kind of afraid of going alone several years ago, I just, you know, I didn't have a lot of temple experience, and so the thought of going was scary. And so I went and did initiatories, and it became such an incredible strength for me to hear the blessings that were bestowed upon me as a woman, and they were mine. And I remember recently hearing a talk about when you can't attend the temple regularly, remember and recall those. Those are yours. And even now, just as I hear the experiences and I think about the strength I get, usually it takes me back to the initiatory blessings and the incredible strength as I remember those words that are given to us as women, that the Lord has especially for us. It's very powerful and comforting, reassuring, knowing the Lord's love for me.
Yes, thank you. Becky.
I wanted to just quickly say that we can trust in the promises of God. There's so much strength in the blessings that are offered in the temple that we can trust in those blessings. And it is sacred, dedicated, holy ground. And we can trust in God's power, even just stepping foot on that ground. I feel like the moment we begin to exercise faith, even if it's in that, even if it's on our walk to the temple, that God starts to work in our life. Just exercising that faith and believing in those promises. It was either last week or the week before that we talked about not just believing in our Father in heaven and in the Savior, but believing them. Believe the promises that they offer. And there are beautiful promises in the temple that we can put all of our trust in. They will never fail us.
That's right. Thank you. Okay. Let's go to our next section.
Seeking the companionship of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can guide us in our decisions and protect us from physical and spiritual danger. Through him, we can receive gifts of the Spirit for our benefit and for the benefit of those we love and serve. He truly is the comforter. As the soothing voice of a loving parent can quiet a crying child, the whisperings of the Spirit can calm our fears, hush the nagging worries of our life, and comfort us when we grieve. The Holy Ghost can fill us with hope and perfect love and can teach us the peaceable things of the kingdom. Discerning the whisperings of the Spirit may be challenging, especially during the emotionally charged situations we sometimes face with our loved ones. At times, we may question whether the impressions we receive are our own feelings or the promptings of the Spirit. Elder David A. Bednar taught, "If you and I have a sincere desire for the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost, invite his influence into our lives through our obedience and actions, and learn to heed simple promptings and to do so quickly, then I testify and promise that we will be able to tell the difference between our own emotions telling us what we want to hear and the Holy Ghost telling us what we need to hear." The Holy Ghost provides us with peace and direction as we seek guidance and press forward in faith.
Thank you. How has the Holy Ghost comforted you in affliction? And how have you learned to recognize the promptings of the Holy Ghost? What promptings have you received from the Holy Ghost, and how will you act on them? Eileen.
I was just talking with some people recently about how we all felt prompted to stay with our husbands and to marry them, even though there's this, you know, difficult, awful thing that we had to go through. And that was a prompting from the Spirit, and that was, we knew we needed to. And even though it's been so difficult, I'm really grateful that I followed that prompting and have gone through this with my husband, because it's made us much stronger together as a couple.
Vicky.
I keep coming back to this discerning the whisperings of the Spirit may be challenging, especially during the emotionally charged situations. And that is, like, to me, such an understatement, because I want so bad to feel the Holy Spirit that I felt 10 minutes ago when I maybe felt like having a conversation or bringing something up, and it quickly turns south, in my opinion. But I have found over the last several months how a little at a time, not quickly, but as I can look back over the last several months, I'm not engaged in the contention as much. And I know that's got to be the Holy Ghost staying with me as I'm getting better at doing the dailies, my prayers, my scriptures, trying to go to the temple and being able to hear the Spirit more, so that when things become emotionally charged, I can kind of just step back and still love the person I'm engaged in that moment with sincerely, but not be drawn in, because, boundaries now, are there. They're in place, and you're worth more and I'm worth more than this moment. And let's just let that go. I don't need to compromise, and I still find myself being firm in their important things that need to be said. I don't back down and I don't engage, and that, I'm sure, without a doubt, is the Holy Ghost, because that wasn't at the beginning how I felt. But as I've begun to heal myself, I'm able to do those things more now and handle those situations.
Thank you, Lynn.
If anyone else is aware of your loved one's addiction, you will get such conflicting advice about what you should do about it. I was told that I should leave my husband. I was told that I should never, ever see him again. And I think it's important to remember that our Heavenly Father is the only one who knows our hearts and who knows what we can do, what we are capable of with His help. And He also is the only one who knows the heart of our loved one, whether they can change or not, and what it will take to get them to change. So He is the only one who can give you sound advice in that situation. And He gives us that advice through the Spirit. To me, that was so important. And when I got that affirmation of what it was I should do, it was so much easier to hold on to that, because I knew, because of the peace I'd felt in my heart, that it was the right answer. There have been times when I had doubts, and I go back to scripture that says, remember the time when you studied it out in your heart and you knew that what you should do, and remember that feeling again. And that helped me so much.
Thank you. Okay, Stephanie.
With the questions of what promptings have you received from the Holy Ghost, probably the list could be endless as far as even this regarding the addiction. I've mentioned, before the feeling that my home had completely lost the Spirit, and that was something that was pretty immediate. Actually, it was the couple days after our wedding, and I woke up and just sick to my stomach about being in that home. And that just is kind of what continued. And I think it, just having those feelings, even though they were unpleasant, was a, it kind of helped, I think, to prepare me a little bit for finding out the truth. And also, you know, I've been prompted many times to, you know, to ask my husband about certain things. And it's, you know, at the beginning, typically when I would ask him how things were going, he would tell me they were good. But it always ended up leading to, you know, him revealing things after I, you know, after I maybe discovered something. But I felt like my Heavenly Father was, you know, allowing me to have those promptings. I think just to be able to, like I said, to kind of prep me for, I think each time that I would find something, it made the impact quite, you know, not quite as difficult. And I also, you know, I feel like giving me the promptings to even ask my husband certain things about, you know, what I found, even if he didn't take the opportunity, I felt like it was, you know, an opportunity for him to kind of show a step towards honesty and being open that, you know, he eventually took. But it was something for him, too, I think, that those promptings were given. So,
Carolee.
I was reading this week in the New Testament where Peter and John are brought before the council and they're being questioned. And Peter, he asked the Lord to grant unto them that they may speak, that they can heal, that they can show forth signs. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and many were converted. And I thought about that, how they ask for those gifts specifically, like they knew what they wanted, they knew what they needed, and they asked for that. And I thought about how, you know, in this part of the principle, it talks about, you know, we can receive gifts of the Spirit for our benefit and for the benefit of others. And so, you know, we could, in my own personal study, I can sit down and write, you know, what are the spiritual gifts that I need as a mother, as a wife, or in my calling, or as an employer or an employee, or these different areas of my life, you know, what gifts do I need? And I can write them down, and I really feel like if I pray for them specifically, having faith that, you know, they will be given, how often have I not asked for them or not known what I need? I really like that the Holy Ghost is there for us in so many different ways, but he can, we can ask Heavenly Father to give us what we need in these situations and in these different roles that we play in our lives, just like Peter and John did, and they were given what they needed in that moment.
Thank you. I would just like to add that one of the best ways that we can inoculate, so to speak, our children in this world is to teach them how to feel the Spirit, which is, and you can do that in a primary lesson or in family home evening if they've get, you know, get that warm, tingly feeling. Just ask them, do you know what that was? That was the Spirit. Teach them to know what the Spirit and how to feel the Spirit. And you're going to have a very prepared child for this life. Okay. For those of you who have joined us since the meeting began, we welcome you. We will now begin the sharing portion of the meeting. You are invited to share your personal experiences of applying gospel principles in your life. Please focus your sharing on the solution rather than the problem. Refrain from mentioning graphic details about the practice of your loved one's addiction. Also, it is perfectly acceptable to pass if you prefer to listen only. Confidentiality and anonymity foster honesty and make this a safe place to share. In keeping with the principle of anonymity, we invite you to introduce yourself by your first name only.
We will conclude the sharing portion 5 minutes before the end of the meeting. The time is now yours to share your experiences, faith, and hope. We invite you to share for 3 to 5 minutes. I will give a signal if you've used your full time for sharing. In this meeting, we will proceed clockwise. So who would like to begin the sharing? Becky, thank you.
Hi, my name's Becky.
Hi, Becky.
So a few weeks ago, my husband had a slip and or relapse. And I talked about, you know, not knowing what to do and kind of where my boundaries stood and things. And I just wanted to share what's happened since then. He asked me within a few days of that, how do I show you that I'm rowing my boat in the same direction? Because that's this image that I really like, of that we're each rowing our own boat down a river. My husband has really struggled with his testimony. He's denied that he ever had a testimony, and I don't feel like that's true. Because I've felt it before when he shared it. And so he's been really maybe prideful and felt like he could take care of this himself by, you know, maybe he needs some help, but he's been very reluctant to rely on the Savior. And I really felt like that was missing. And I told him, you know, you've been trying so hard, and I can see that, and you've been doing so good, but you really just need to rely on the Savior, because he can help you with this where no one else can. And he hasn't been coming to church for about 4 months, and that was really hard for me, but I knew that maybe he just needed some time. And so when I told him that, I was really shocked, because he said, well, I guess I have to go back to church then. And he's been coming for, he came for the last 2 weeks, and that is just an amazing thing for me, that my husband is choosing to come, because it's like they say earlier in this, they said, although we desire our loved ones to come unto Christ and be healed, this is something that they must do for themselves. That's always been something that's really hard for me, to just wait. And I always felt like I was trying to fix my husband, but he wasn't being very cooperative. And I feel that I just see miracles. I see miracles in my husband and in his countenance that I know couldn't be there if I wasn't changing myself. Because the way I was before made it difficult for him to change. I know that that is only through the Savior that we can really change ourselves and become more like him.
Thank you. Thanks, Becky.
Thanks, Becky. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Carolee.
Hi, Carolee.
When they're reading that opening part of the principle, they talk about sharing our experience, faith, and hope. And I really can't share my experience, my faith, and my hope without talking about the LDS Family Services Addiction Recovery Program steps. I know we're studying the Spouse and Family Support Guide principles, but for me, my recovery began using the steps and studying those. And at first, I, like most women, I think, felt like this was my husband's journey, and I'm really glad he's reading these steps. And it took some time for me to understand that these steps are pretty much a breakdown of the application of the atonement, and that it can be applied to every aspect of my life and anything that I'm struggling with. And as I worked through those first three steps, which are honesty, hope, and trust in God, I really felt that I was changing. Then I came to that step four, which is truth. And it, within that step, you write a moral inventory of your life. So it took me some time, probably a year or so into coming to these meetings. But then I started to write that moral inventory. Step five was to share it. I didn't want to. I did not want to. But I felt safe sharing it with my husband because he already knew me. He knew everything about me. So I shared it with him. But I found myself, as time went by, that as I tried to progress, I couldn't really, because I hadn't done that moral inventory in the way that it was written, which is to share it with a priesthood leader and with another person. There weren't, like, major things in my life. You know, I'm not an addict in the sense of the word that we use. But there were things that had happened to me throughout my life, feelings and burdens that I was carrying, things that I was embarrassed about that I really just didn't want to talk about with anybody. So it took some time, and then it was just a few months before we started studying the principles, I felt like I need to pull out that inventory. I need to rework it. I need to study it. I need to do this in the way that it says, partly because I wanted to be able to stand as a witness that that I had done it and that it worked somehow. And I didn't know what it was going to do, but I pulled it out and I spent a lot of time. And then I took it to a priesthood leader, which was incredibly challenging to get there. But once I was there, it was such a huge relief of burdens, things that I had been carrying for so long. In the back of my mind, they're always there. And suddenly, after meeting with him and then meeting with another person, it was like I no longer had to carry those things. And I started working more of the steps. And then you get to step 10, which is daily accountability. And it felt like without all the baggage of, you know, the 30 plus years of my life, that daily accountability, every day I could look, what did I do today? I don't have to worry about anything else. What have I done today that I need to be accountable for? What did I say to my husband, to my children? You know, and then I could take care of it. It was so manageable. And then partaking of the sacrament each Sabbath day became more meaningful because I could really just focus on the present. And I can only imagine that this is what my husband felt after unloading his burden and becoming completely honest. There's power in confession. I don't quite understand it, but there is power in it. It seems to take away the secrecy, which leaves Satan powerless over us. Somehow, that honesty can help us to move on. And so Cheryl Esplin said that the sacrament can be a renewal for the soul, and that has been my experience. And it's because of really working these steps. And I know that's not why we're here to study. We're studying the principles, but I have found such great value in applying these steps because it is the atonement. Is it not? I mean, it really is leading us toward the Savior, laying our burdens at his feet, and then managing our life daily in a way that we can. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carolee.
Hi, I'm Vicki.
Hi, Vicki.
So, Carolee, I just want you to know that I know we're not supposed to crosstalk. But I have felt very strongly prompted, before you mentioned anything, to talk about the LDS 12-step addiction recovery program. My
husband was going to that and very much wanted me to go to that program. And every time he brought it up, the feeling was not there that that was something I was supposed to do. And it really was a sincere feeling, not just the dragging my feet, but the prayerful feeling that it just didn't feel right for me. And we moved, and as I mentioned, I believe, in my introduction, when I started coming to the spouse and family recovery program, this one that we're doing today, I did it without my husband's knowledge. I went without telling him that this is what I was doing. And so I really just wanted to heal myself. But when I got in the class, there were several of the sisters that encouraged me to go through the LDS 12-step program. And it still never quite felt right, but I trusted them with everything, too. I got the book, and I started to go through it, and it still didn't quite click. And I had a sister missionary, so amazing, counsel me. She said, no, if you don't feel that way, you need to take this program and apply it every bit to your life like you would the 12 steps. And that was a whole new concept for me because this was all new to me. And at the place where we're still somewhat at the beginning, there weren't lines to fill in and questions to answer and places in a neatly bound book at the beginning of this program. And I didn't even know where to start. So I kept praying, what do I do? As I continued to go and know that I was doing the right thing. And I remember the sweet moment that the Lord told me simply to get a notebook and start writing. And I did. And it was just like things started just coming. And I knew what to do. And my first page is exactly laid out what I need to do to study this. And so for the last 3 or 4 months, I chose to go through one principle at a time, like some of the sisters did, one step through the LDS recovery at a time. But I did this. And I must tell you, for me, the study guide at the end of this and prayerful consideration of each one of these things and a journal that I have with plenty of spaces and plenty of pages to write has been so healing for me. For me, I have found so many answers that the Lord has whispered truth to me as I have went through this program. And I just know that this program was put here for us women and mothers as we struggle. And I know there's husbands and sons too that struggle with these things in their family. It is so inspired and has changed my home and my family. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the study guide and knowing that the Lord is so mindful of us, of me. And I'm so grateful for that. And I share this testimony with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Becky.
Hi, Becky.
It's always so nice to come to meetings and to hear different perspectives and different testimonies, and I'm grateful for what we've heard so far today. I was thinking earlier today, just kind of reflecting and pondering about the gospel, and just thought, you know, the truths of the gospel are so simple, and I'm really thankful for that. When the Spirit teaches us, it's simple and direct and clear, and I feel like in just this evening that the Lord is kind of guiding me to a simple truth of the gospel to draw unto me and the power in that. And so many other things sticking out from our conversations today, like take time to be holy each day of your lives. And another that I've thought about a lot while we've been discussing is that we should expect that the adversary will try to interfere with us in our lives. And early in my life, our Heavenly Father gave me an experience that really helped me have a strong desire, or at least a strong understanding of the importance of the Holy Ghost in our life. And for a long time, and I remember when I was young, I made this promise, I'm going to do everything I can to never deny the Holy Ghost. And there's no way to be perfect at that, but it's something that he's teaching me, and this experience has showed me as well. It just continues to build upon that experience that the Holy Ghost is so important in everyday life, and it's what I need for me. We can receive the gifts of the Spirit for the benefit of those we love and serve. And something that I realize is that some gifts are given without me asking for them, and others he's waiting for me to understand that I need and to get down humbly and to ask for them. I'm so grateful for one of the gifts that he's given me, and that is the gift of discernment. I've been able to see and discern when I'm being tempted. And for me, that's been a really big blessing. It keeps me away from anger and away from fear, because when a thought comes in that would provoke anger or fear, I can discern that it's a temptation to be angry at my husband or to be fearful of my future. And in our reading, it says that the Spirit calms our fears and hushes the nagging worries of our life. And I'm just so grateful for the Spirit and the way that it does bless us, because I have felt that calming of my fears and pushing away the worries of my life. I just didn't really have a lot to share today, except that I know that we're going to be tried and tested, and that we get to choose the company that we keep. We can choose to have the Spirit in our home, or we can choose to let our tempters reign and rule in our hearts and minds. I'm grateful for the gospel. I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Eileen.
Hi, Eileen.
Just this past week, I was talking with someone very close to me and just opening up to her about some of the challenges that I've been going through. And she's known about my husband's addiction pretty much since the beginning. But I've just always kind of had this fear that she has been defining my husband by his addiction. I'm sure many of you can relate to that, that that's all that you can think about anymore. And I was just really afraid that that's, you know, when she thought of me and my marriage, she thought of, you know, it's doomed because I'm married to a porn addict, you know? That's the feeling that a lot of people give you when they find out my situation. And so I was very concerned. So after opening up to her about a lot of my personal issues, and including I put a little plug in at the end saying, oh, and by the way, my husband's doing really well with his addiction. You know, in case you're wondering, he's been doing really well. He's healing and he's getting really strong. And she just said, you know what? I want you to know that I don't think about the addiction when I think about your husband. I don't think about that. That's not the way I think. That's not how I define him. I think of him as a person and as your husband and as, you know, father of your children first. And I don't even, his addiction doesn't even come to my mind. And that was just this huge burden off my shoulders. Whenever I've opened up to someone about my husband's addiction, I only do it when I'm prompted by the Spirit. But, you know, once the secret's out, the secret's out. And it's kind of, it's difficult to talk about anything without the fear of people tying it back into, oh, you feel that way because of, you know, your husband or whatever. So I was just really grateful that she let me know that that's not how she is, and that she doesn't think that way about my husband or about me. And that was just a huge relief. And so I'm really grateful for the healing power of this program and of the truths of the gospel, and that it's changing both my life and my husband's life, and also the lives of people around me, including this person. So I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Eileen. Hi, I'm Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
I've been thinking of that analogy of my husband and I in our canoes going on the river, rowing, each of us rowing our canoes on the river. And when that was first mentioned, the first picture that popped into my mind, we're rowing downstream, and ahead of us is the waterfall. And then my mind starts playing with that and realizing that in actuality, we're not supposed to be going downstream. We are supposed to be rowing our canoes together upstream. Yes, the waterfall is downstream, and if we don't watch out, we will get washed over it. But if we stop rowing, we will go over the falls. If we don't row hard enough, we will just sit in for eternity in one spot in the river. So we have to row fast enough or hard enough to make some progress up the river. And at different points in our lives, we row at different strengths. When we are doing the things that we need to do, that we know we need to do, all those Sunday school answers that we joke about in Sunday school, then we're rowing hard and we will make progress. But it is so easy in our hectic lives to lose one or two of those and maybe not pray as fervently as we should and maybe not read our scriptures every day. And maybe let some of those other things slide. I know that myself, over the last couple of years, it's been so easy to let some of those things go. And I go and say, it's okay that I'm not reading my scriptures. I have been saying my prayers. And it's okay if I'm not doing this one thing because I have been paying my tithing. But if I don't do all of them, I'm not going to progress up the river. And there are going to be times in my life when the current is stronger going downstream. And in those hard times when the current is stronger, it's more important than ever to row as hard as I can and to do all of those things that I should be doing. So right now I'm going to recommit myself to doing those things that I know I should be doing. And maybe I need to recommit myself every single day to doing those things. Because we need to go upstream.
Thanks, Lynn.
Hi, I'm Leanne.
Hi, Leanne.
And what I want to share today, as we're doing the reading, the part that stands out to me most is we can see things that we were not able to see before. And I had an experience as I was putting myself, as we say, in the right place at the right time, seeking the companionship and guidance of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, a lot of things that happen in the temple, we keep sacred and we don't talk about those things outside of the temple because that is where the Spirit speaks to us very personally and very sacredly. But I wanted to share just a quick experience that I had just recently with my husband in the temple. And it was shortly after he was finally able to receive his temple blessings back, after he had lost that worthiness for quite a few years. And there's a place in the temple where we gather in the chapel as we prepare to proceed through the temple in other areas. And for some reason, I don't know why, I was shuffling to be late, because we weren't late to be to the chapel on time. And for some reason, I was held back. And I was, by the time that I had gotten to the chapel, the chapel was cleared and there was no one there. And I was going to the chapel with my husband to attend the temple that day. And so I knew that he was there in the building somewhere. But by the time I had gotten to the chapel, the room was cleared. And I saw the door close. And for the first time in a really, really, really long time through our recovery, as well as several years of marriage and being married to an addict, I had the experience of feeling and knowing that I wanted to be with that man, that my husband wasn't there in that room at that time, and he had gone on before me and left me there in that chapel alone. And for the first time in a really, really long time, I had the confirmation that I really do want to be with this man. And that was something that through our recovery and through the trauma of finding out about, you know, the practices of my husband's addiction and so forth, that I really felt that confirmation again that it was worth trying, it was worth recovering, it was worth all the effort that it takes to be healed again. And that experience happened through being in the right place at the right time, seeking the companionship of the Holy Ghost and the discernment of and answers, the discernment and answers to prayer. And so that was just a really, really neat thing for me recently. And I love being in the temple because despite the practices of my husband, it's a place where I can dress in white and I can remember those blessings that are specifically for me. And I can be pure and I can be clean regardless of how my husband may have treated me in the past, how the addict may have objectified me or misused me. And the temple for me has just become a really, really sacred place. And I testify that experience and that abundance of the Holy Spirit can and does dwell in our holy temples and reminds us who we are and our divinity. And I leave that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks,
Leah. Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to share tonight. I didn't think I was going to. But what's come to my mind is I look at my husband's recovery, and even though he's been clean for several years, I'm still very critical on what he, you know, if I don't think that he's, you know, reading the scriptures enough, if he's not doing, you know, maybe not attending the addiction recovery group like I think that he should, and I'm very critical on making sure that he is maintaining that recovery, you know, for the sake of our family and our marriage, and even though it's very important to me that I heal, and I feel like I'm close, I don't put that same criticism, I guess, on myself for not applying, you know, the principles that were taught in this group and other things that we're supposed to be doing and that would help in maintaining my recovery, my healing. And, you know, the recovery of my husband is very critical for our family and our marriage, but it's just, I guess, kind of dawned on me a little bit more that, you know, my healing is critical for his recovery and for and for our marriage and for our family. And that, you know, I need to put that same importance on my healing as I do for my husband's recovery. And because I think only then is when things will really start to mend within our family and within our marriage. And so I'm just very grateful for these principles. They are incredibly inspired, and I just am just grateful that our Heavenly Father is mindful of us and that He loves us that much, that He's willing to put these things before us so that we can heal. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
I love the title of this principle, Draw Near Unto Me. I just love the thought of that, of drawing near unto the Savior. And I've been kind of thinking about it, and I thought I'd share some of my experiences and thoughts that go along with that. One is an experience that I had really early on when this all just came out. I remember being so anxious about my husband's recovering, wanting to know what was happening, if he was relapsing, and would he tell me if he did, and could I trust him, and when could I trust him? And so I was praying about these things, and on several occasions, I remember almost hearing the words, "Be still and know that I am God." And I was able to, you know, when I heard those, I was able to take a deep breath and still all the thoughts that were running in my mind and just realize that I needed to trust the Lord, to trust God, and be still and patient and trust Him. It's interesting that Carolee and Vicki mentioned the 12 steps of the LDS Addiction Recovery Program, because I was kind of thinking about that as well, because I have spent some time with the 12 steps and learned a lot from them. I really feel like when we hear the phrase, "come unto Christ," it can be hard to know exactly how to do that. And I've felt that the 12 steps of the LDS Addiction and Recovery Program are a good way to know how to come unto Christ. There's one part that I think has been key to my healing. In those 12 steps, it talks about giving my will to God. It also talked about that in this principle from the Family Support Guide. And I really think that that's something that is so important in coming unto Christ. There are several quotes in the 12 steps that just really, really have a lot of power. There's one by Elder Neil A. Maxwell, and it says, "The submission of one's will is really the only uniquely personal thing that we have to place on God's altar. The many other things we give God, however nice that may be of us, are actually things He has given us. He has loaned them to us. But when we begin to submit ourselves by letting our wills be swallowed up in God's will, then we are really giving something to Him." I love that. I love that thought of actually being able to give something to God and to trust Him and put my life in His hands. And by doing that, I have felt my Savior's love. I have felt and understood the atonement better. And I just really think that that is the way to get on the road to healing. And I'm grateful for that knowledge. And even that I've had to go through this trial to gain that knowledge is, it's strange to say, but in a way, a blessing. So I'm thankful for that, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Melissa.
I've written a few things down as you guys speak, as I've said before, and honestly, the Spirit's not zeroing in on me, so I'm just going to kind of go, and we'll see how it all goes. I want to bear testimony really quick. my husband healed with the steps of the addiction recovery manual. It's just that simple. He had been a pornography addict for 33 years, and it took that, where it was the central figure, the savior, is what did that. The other thing I was going to talk about, the thing that we have with this addiction as wives, is there's such shame, you know, that is attached to this. You're not going to say in Relief Society in the Good News Minute, my husband's 6 months clean from pornography. Woo-woo. You're not going to do that. And oftentimes you're not even going to do that with a friend if you haven't shared it. So it's a difficult thing. I know that when I discovered my husband 10 years ago, I had a bishop that should have done a course on how to handle this. I was very blessed. I had a friend who went in to see her bishop, and she said to him, I don't trust my husband, and right now I don't really trust you, but I trust that the Lord will teach you what you need to know to help me. And I know that the brethren and the people, the other people that need to be thinking about this, knew that. And that is why they have come up with these principles instead, so that it is more towards our healing than our husband's. The last thing I'm going to share, and it's kind of the how has the Holy Ghost comforted you in affliction. I've talked about my grandson that we lost, and at his funeral, I was going to be saying the opening prayer. And I know they opened the curtain, and I didn't even look at the chapel because I thought, I don't want to see it. I'm glad I didn't, because it was standing room only. And I was sitting there, and we sang Families Can Be Together Forever. So I was already blubbering. And I went up to the pulpit, and I sat there for a second. And earlier I told my husband, if I start to slouch, put your hand in the middle of my back, please, so that I won't slouch. Well, as I stood there thinking, there is no way I can do this, I felt a hand in the middle of my back. And I straightened up my shoulders, and then I felt hands on my shoulders. And I'd like to believe that that was Owen saying, yes, Grandma, you can do this. And I got through that prayer almost all the way to the end, until I asked as a mother that my daughter would be blessed. That's when I started to cry. But I got through the whole prayer. And so that's such a simple thing. I think people expect you to cry at a funeral. It's such a simple, simple thing, but I know what I felt. And I just want to bear testimony that, again, the Savior knows us and he loves us. He rejoices in our joys, and I know that he sorrows with us when we have sorrow. And I bear testimony that this program, the Savior is aware of and knows that at this time, this is what's going to work for us. And I want to just bear testimony to that, and that our Savior does love us. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thanks,
Sister Hollis.
Thank you. Please remember that what has been shared here is confidential, and the opinions expressed here are those of the individual who expressed them and do not necessarily represent the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Please review the Gospel Study and Personal Learning and Application sections of the principles between meetings to build on what you've heard and experienced in this meeting. Finally, we thank each of you for your participation. And would someone please volunteer to offer the closing prayer? Thank you. Becky.
Our Father in heaven, we're thankful to be gathered here this evening and to have shared these principles and our thoughts on them. And we're grateful for this manual and the way it blesses our understanding. We're so grateful for thy Son and his atonement. We're thankful for the Spirit and the way that it blesses our lives. Please bless us that as we approach thee with our different struggles, that we can find the peace and the comfort that the Spirit will give and that thou art eager to bless us with. We pray for those who are in pain and who are searching and in need of help. We pray that they can find recovery and that they can find blessings. Please bless us this night as we leave, that we can travel in safety. We're grateful for the gospel and the way that it blesses our lives. And we say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to an actual LDS addiction recovery program spouse and family support meeting. For more information or to attend meetings near you, visit arp.lds.org or contact your local priesthood leader. To download a podcast of any episode of the Addiction Recovery Program, visit mormonchannel.org or arp.lds.org.